Like the office they commemorate, presidential libraries are living institutions. Certainly, it is my hope that the Reagan Library will become a dynamic intellectual forum where scholars interpret the past and policymakers debate the future.
Welcome to a Reagan Forum, hosted by the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute. The Center for Public Affairs offers lectures and forums presenting perspectives on important public policy issues of the day, from politicians, authors, members of the media, business and military leaders, and more. In this week's Reagan Forum podcast, we go back only 1 week to April 6, 2022, for our in-person event with Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota, who was a speaker in the Reagan Foundation's Time for Choosing Speaker series, a forum for leading voices in the conservative movement. Kristi Noem has served as the 33rd governor of South Dakota since 2019 and is the state's first female governor. In addition to serving as governor, Kristi Noem is a wife, lifelong rancher, and small business owner. Despite all of this, she says that her greatest accomplishment is raising her three children. During her Time for Choosing speech at the Reagan Library, Governor Noem addressed additional critical issues facing the future of the Republican Party. Let's listen.
It is such an honor to be here at the beautiful Reagan Library to share my thoughts on our party and what our mission is today. There is no better place to have these conversations. And, you know, I first visited the Reagan Library years ago. My husband, Brian, and I stopped while we were on a business trip, and we were a bit lost as first. I admit, I walked into this library, and I just couldn't even believe I was actually here. We met Peggy Grant, President Reagan's longtime executive assistant, and she shared with us personal memories of a man that I had admired since I was a little girl. At one point, I found myself alone at the memorial that's outside, and in a quiet moment, I reflected on a man whose leadership inspired the world at a time of turmoil. I remember being overwhelmed at all that he brought to this country and to the world. All I could do was bow my head and thank the Lord for sending such a man of strength and hope to lead our country. Now, back in the gift shop, I, of course, purchased one of his replica cowboy hats. I couldn't resist, but that hat still hangs today in my office next to a portrait of President Reagan in his signature cowboy hat with that wide, hopeful smile on his face. Now, much more recently, I had the opportunity to visit the Reagan Ranch, and that was a dream come true. Because while at this magnificent library, it felt so impressive to me, when I got to the ranch, it felt familiar. In a way, it felt like coming home. You know, growing up in the West, growing up in South Dakota, my heroes have always been cowboys. My dad was a farmer and a rancher, a real-life cowboy who worked harder than anyone I had ever known. He was tough as rawhide, and he lived a life of integrity. He expected his children to be excellent. "We don't complain about things," Dad always told us. "We fix them." Now, free time on the ranch was really rare. We hunted in the mountains with our horses for our vacations. We checked cows on Sunday afternoons, and we watched John Wayne movies. The Duke had a famous line that my dad loved to repeat on long days on the ranch: "We're burning daylight." And I remember there was a gate at our farm leading from the pasture where I led my horses through to go to the barn. For years, I led my horses back and forth through that gate. Above that gate was a sign that hung this quote: "There is nothing so good for the inside of a man than the outside of a good horse." It wasn't until I was much older that I realized this was a favorite phrase of Ronald Reagan's. So if you want to know what President Reagan meant to my dad, a man who worked, who depended on God and the dirt for his livelihood, that tells you all you need to know. A political awakening, like in so many families as I address this, when we wake up, we rarely discussed politics, and we never discussed it around the table. On our ranch, our politics were lived. They weren't talked about. We knew that we had freedom and personal responsibility. We knew we needed to use both to make our corner of the world a better place to serve other people. And it wasn't any more complicated than that. I was 9 years old when President Reagan was elected, and when I saw a picture of him in a cowboy hat, I was all in for the Gipper. Later, I read of Reagan's genuine sorrow at having to leave his ranch to return to the White House. I didn't know what that felt like until I became governor, and I found myself feeling the same way. When home is heaven, you hate to leave. It's an incredible honor to serve as South Dakota's first female governor, but I'm also its 33rd governor. And as you all know, Ronald Reagan was also serving as his and this state's 33rd governor. It's a small similarity, but it's one that's very special to me. Now, the world is a very different place today than when President Reagan was in office. I recently came across a speech Reagan gave during the Cold War, and it reflected so many of today's tensions. I feel his words resonate with us all now. Here they are. To every person who's trapped in tyranny, including Ukraine, Hungary, Czechoslovakia, Cuba, and Vietnam, we send our love and support. Your struggle is real. Your dream is our dream. And someday soon, you too will be free. Now, what is happening in Ukraine today is tragic. And I want to recognize the Reagan Foundation for awarding President Zelensky the Reagan Freedom Award. President Zelensky has demonstrated his bravery to the world by his willingness to speak truth and fight for freedom for the Ukrainian people. May God bless him, and may God bless the people of Ukraine. Now, it may seem ironic that the very first Freedom Award was presented to Mikhail Gorbachev by President Reagan himself. What a hopeful time that was. But decades later, Gorbachev's successor is attempting to destroy his legacy. Make no mistake, Vladimir Putin is an evil man who, like other dictators throughout history, despises freedom, and he hates those who seek it. We are watching daily assaults on democracy, and they are a reminder to all of us of President Reagan's famous words. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in our bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same, or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in the United States when men were free. That is why in 2020, more than any other governor in America, I traveled to 17 states to campaign for President Trump's re-election efforts. I knew that elections have consequences, and I did not want to wake up and have a leader who wouldn't put America first. His administration restored America's dominance on the world stage, made us energy independent, feared our adversaries, and we were respected by our allies. He created an economy pre-pandemic that was one of the strongest this nation has ever seen, and I want it to continue. And he defended our borders. A country with no borders is no country at all. That is why I've deployed the South Dakota National Guard to help ensure that our southern border is secure. Now, unfortunately, with the help of the mainstream media, Joe Biden was elected President of the United States. And sadly, America's president today is not fighting for our freedoms. He's not protecting our freedoms. In fact, Joe Biden is doing the exact opposite. In our time tonight, I'll share just a few thoughts, first on our international challenges that we face, and then on what we need to do here at home. And I'll say at the start, if we defend democracy in Ukraine, but we lose our fundamental freedoms here at home, then we will have failed. Joe Biden has been wrong on every major foreign policy decision that he has been a part of for almost 50 years. If the leadership in the White House had reflected peace through strength, by supporting our military, by standing strong against Iran, North Korea, and China, by not facilitating a devastating, disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan that resulted in the death of 13 American patriots, then we would not see an emboldened Putin. Even now, President Biden doubles down on our weakness. He's crippling our domestic energy supply. In fact, he shut down the Keystone XL pipeline, which was to come through our state of South Dakota, while allowing Nord Stream 2 to continue to operate. Biden continues to rely on Russia to broker a nuclear deal with Iran while militias launch rockets at Americans in Iraq. Biden is also asking the dictator in Venezuela to pump more oil at the same time that he muzzles American energy producers. It is absurd. And worse, it empowers America's adversaries while making us weaker. These are clear threats to the security of the United States, but there are more. China's ruthless communist leaders are not only strengthening their military, they're manipulating their currency, stealing our IP, using regulations to create unfair trade practices, and paying lip service to agreements from the UN while the US is held to a different standard. They also have their sights set on our food supply. They are buying up our chemical, our fertilizer, and our processing facilities that put groceries on our shelves. When another country grows our food, they control our food. When another country controls our food, they control us. This is all a part of China's plan to control the United States. It is the president's job to address these challenges. Now, Joe Biden either cannot or he will not be the leader that America needs. When it comes to domestic policy, you know, things aren't any better. You know, and we are burning daylight on inflation, surging gas prices, keeping supply chains intact, and securing our food. Joe Biden's indecision and weakness is having irreversible consequences for American families, for workers, and for our children. We need a leader with vision and with strength, and one that can correct our nation's current course, and we need it fast. The great American story has been turned to a dark chapter. Pain and fear and doubt are echoing of the Carter years. Some say that it's worse because Democrats have a much more sinister motivation for embracing socialist practices than they did decades ago. Today, Democrats are all about control. Now, the question before us tonight is, what is the Republican Party going to do about it? Abigail Adams wrote, "The habits of a vigorous mind are formed in the contending with difficulties. Great necessities call out great virtues." We confront great necessities today. Leading our country through them will require all that is best of us as a party and as a people. Our party was born during a national crisis, the Civil War. Under Lincoln, our Republican Party freed the slaves and preserved the Union, which means from our earliest days, the purpose of the Republican Party has been preserving the dignity of every American's life and holding our people together in times of turmoil. So we need to ask ourselves, as conservatives, what are we trying to conserve? What do we want to save and to keep for our kids and our grandkids? Put simply, the greatest country in human history. Our founders built something that the world had never seen before. They took the best of Western civilization from Jerusalem to Athens to Rome to London, and they brought together faith, reason, law, and a representative government. And in Philadelphia, in 1787, they put all of that together to craft the Constitution of the United States. They set out a Bill of Rights making clear certain rights could never be infringed on. The right to speak and assemble, the right to worship and act on those beliefs in the private square, the right to arm ourselves, and the right to a fair and equitable criminal justice system. They acknowledge that our rights come from our Creator, and free people honor their Creator when they exercise those rights and govern themselves wisely. But our rights and our freedoms have come under attack in an unprecedented way the last 2 years. Our public officials have grabbed unconstitutional power over American families, workers, and students when a global pandemic gave them an excuse to do so. The media stoked fear, national health experts manipulated data and ignored science. Dr. Fauci outright lied repeatedly. He used his title and his position as a political weapon against the American people. And sadly, I watched people in this country roll over and give up their freedoms. Because America told them that they could not hold gatherings, they gave up their freedom of assembly. Because the government told them that they couldn't go to church, they gave up their freedom of religion. Because the government allowed citizens to be canceled and their opinions silenced, they gave up their freedom of speech. Now, the left wants to criminalize dissent. When someone raises legitimate questions on any number of issues, from election integrity to COVID-19, to climate change, to critical race theory that's being taught in our schools, if you dare speak up, you get professionally ruined, or worse yet, prosecuted and punished. The Republican Party must be the party of freedom. Republicans must roll back Joe Biden's assault on the Bill of Rights. Freedom of speech, assembly, and religion, the freedom to bear arms, the ability of the states to retain their own prerogatives, they're all essential to our society's basic fabric and prosperity. The American people are the most creative and innovative in human history. These natural gifts, they flourish under freedom. They wither without it. It matters who is in charge. And as a party, we as Republicans will have failed if we do not make it very clear what the consequences are of having Democrats in charge. Look from state to state and compare the difference between Republican and Democrat leaders.
More from our Time for Choosing speech with Governor Kristi Noem after this message.
The Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation is the nonprofit organization created by President Reagan himself, and specifically charged by him with continuing his legacy and sharing his principles: individual liberty, economic opportunity, global democracy, and national pride. We must remain vigilant and work together to share these conservative principles with younger generations. Your role is critical to move our mission forward. Thank you for your continued support. Please visit reaganfoundation.org/give. That's reaganfoundation.org/give.
Now back to our Time for Choosing speech with Governor Kristi Noem.
In Democrat states, families are devastated financially from mandates and closures. Having lost precious time in the classroom, kids have fallen behind. Economies have been crippled by regulations and restrictions. Law and order has been eliminated by leaders who embrace criminals and embolden them by disrespecting law enforcement and the judicial system. People in those states are losing hope. It's heartbreaking. But now I want you to look at South Dakota. Because when I ran for governor, I told South Dakotans that we would be an example to the nation. That because we were a smaller state, we could do things faster and more efficiently. As Justice Brandeis said, the states are the laboratories of democracy. Our state could be a pilot project for the nation, enact conservative reforms, and prove that they create more success and opportunity for people. I had no idea that our opportunity to be an example for the nation would come because of a pandemic. And I would wager that very few here followed me during my 8 years in Congress. You got to know me because liberals started kicking me in the head every night for the decisions that I was making during the pandemic. From Elizabeth Warren to Rachel Maddow, night after night on the national news, they said I was reckless, that I was irresponsible and dangerous. At one point on a Sunday morning show, George Stephanopoulos asked New York's former Governor Cuomo to give me advice. Yes. Yes, that Governor Cuomo, the one who sent vulnerable seniors to their deaths in nursing homes and then covered it up. Now, I made my decisions differently. I listened to the experts. I studied the science. We researched the data. But then I took it a step further. I talked to my general counsel and constitutional experts because I wanted to fully understand what authority I had and what authority I didn't have. because I believe that when leaders overstep their authority, especially in a time of crisis, that's when we break this country. Now, South Dakota was the only state in the nation that never once closed a single business. In fact, I never even defined what an essential business was because I don't believe governors have the authority to tell you that your business isn't essential. We never stopped people from going to church. We didn't mandate anything. I stood in front of my people and I told them that I was going to trust them. I would give them all the information that I have, but I was going to let them use personal responsibility to make the best decisions for their families, and that we would get through this unprecedented challenge together. Now, South Dakotans were worthy of that trust. Today, in South Dakota, we have the number one economy in the country. We had the least amount of businesses closed from the pandemic, the least amount of hours lost by workers during the pandemic, least amount of wages lost by any employee during the pandemic. When the president offered elevated unemployment benefits, I was the only governor in the country that turned him down. I said, thank you, Mr. President, for the flexibility, but we don't need it. Our people want to work. We have taken in historic revenues from our thriving economy, even though South Dakota has no income taxes, no corporate or personal taxes, no personal property taxes. I know you're all murmuring. All we have is a 4.5-cent sales tax. Since I have been governor, we have paid off debt. We have funded trusts and reserves to historic levels. We've invested in dams, railroads, infrastructure. I had a vision to bring high-speed internet access to every corner of the state during my years as governor. We fully funded that project in 1 year. We cut taxes, we cut regulations. I signed constitutional carry, and I've waived all the fees for any permits as well. Now in South Dakota, it won't cost you a penny to exercise your Second Amendment rights. In fact, my state will even pay for your federal background check. South Dakota now leads the nation in educational outcomes for children because our kids were in the classroom throughout the pandemic. While Democrats played on fear in South Dakota, we trusted the Constitution and freedom. We gave people hope. We held public events to celebrate it. For Independence Day in 2020, beneath the faces that are carved in granite on Mount Rushmore, we showed America and the people that live here that America is good and honorable, and we revere our past leaders. That we can and should learn from our history, not tear it down. We just did what Republicans have said for years they believe. We did it, and it worked. Our state is thriving, and our people are happy. Last year alone, we lost over 100,000 Americans to drug overdoses. In South Dakota, we focused on the drug problem in our state. And in 2020, just two states had declining overdose deaths, New Hampshire and South Dakota. New Hampshire's rate dropped by 0.5%. South Dakota's dropped by 16%. When states defunded police and they disrespected law enforcement, I began a messaging campaign directed specifically to law enforcement officers. I said, if you want to live somewhere where people will respect you, come to South Dakota. In 1 week, more than 900 law enforcement officers raised their hands and said, I want to live in South Dakota. Since then, thousands have made their home in our state. I also brought and signed into law the strongest bill in the nation to protect girls' sports. And make no mistake, it's about fairness. It's about fairness and about giving young women an opportunity to succeed. And we also banned critical race theory in our public schools. And we took action at our universities, too. Since I took office, we have passed and I've signed into law over a dozen pro-life bills. South Dakota has a AAA credit rating and a fully funded pension plan. We have a constitutional requirement to balance our state budget. And in short, don't you wish you lived in South Dakota? Listen, these policies were all inspired by Republican values and principles. These values make us strong at home. They also make us strong in a dangerous world. In Congress, I served on the Armed Services Committee, and I traveled abroad. Israel, Jordan, the UAE, Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, China, Norway, Greece, Italy, Egypt, and many more. Of all those trips, there is one that I will never forget, and it is my visit to South Korea in the demilitarized zone. I can still picture today the South Korean soldiers lined up along their country's border facing north. The North Korean soldiers were just yards away, facing them with their feet firmly in North Korean soil. And between those two enemies stood our troops, Americans, keeping peace. The North Korean soldiers tried to antagonize our warriors. They were spitting on them. They were shouting at them, taking pictures, trying to break their composure. Yet our men and women stood strong. They were stoic and firm. If ever there was an example of the role America plays in the world, it was right there in front of me in the flesh. Peace through strength, every day, always. And that strength begins right here at home. And we use that strength as a foundation on which to stand amongst other nations as the world's most powerful. In the past, as a party, we have been tested. There are many examples of Republicans rising to the challenge of the day, but unfortunately, there are examples where we as a party have failed. We fight amongst ourselves, concerned about political polls, while losing our focus on the families in our communities living under the crippling burden of bad policies and laws. When I first became governor of South Dakota in January of 2019, I immediately introduced a bill into our legislative session that would have required more civics and history in our classrooms. I felt that our children really did not understand the gift that they had been given being born in this great country. It was Republicans that killed that legislation. They felt that it would be too much of a hardship to change the curriculum that had already been established. They didn't want to divert the time and energy away from other studies that the teachers and the administration may deem more important. Some Republicans voted against it just to oppose me. They had wanted somebody else to be governor. They were more interested in fighting me or not rocking the boat with the teachers' union that they weren't even focusing on our children, the next generation. Now, 2 short years later, CRT has infiltrated our nation's schools and parents are rising up to fight for their kids. These very same legislators have now joined with me to pass legislation banning CRT, and they support teaching true American history in our classrooms. When it comes to putting the hard work in to govern, at times the Republican Party has refused to. Instead of educating the public, people talk in sound bites. Instead of listening to debate, we shout each other down or we jump on Twitter. Instead of thinking about the long-term consequences of our actions, we get worried about the next election. Now, during the pandemic, I found I couldn't just make decisions for my people. I needed to explain to them why I was making the decisions that I was making. I held a whole press conference one time on the Constitution. What power it gave the federal government to myself as governor, but more importantly, the power that it gave to them, the people. I gave a press conference once on our state motto, which is "Under God, the people rule." I even gave a press conference on the need for perspective, encouraging people to shut off the TV and to go for a walk. People need leaders who are willing to spend hours researching, studying, working, and communicating on issues that are important to our families. When I was first elected to the legislature years ago, I had a neighbor give me some advice that I have never forgotten to this day. He said, "Christy, remember, every day you are in legislative session, our way of life is in jeopardy." And his message was clear. What we do matters. What we don't do matters. What we say matters. Every bill that is introduced in South Dakota in my administration during legislative session has to go through a bill analysis by our staff. On this analysis, there are several questions that must be answered. What will happen if this bill becomes law? What will happen if this bill doesn't become law? How much will this bill cost the taxpayers if it's enacted? The answers to these questions give me information I need to decide whether I want to support the bill or sign it should it make it to my desk. The very last question on that bill analysis form says, "What will be the impact of this legislation on the next generation?" You see, I don't think that what we will do, that it should only think about what the consequences are a week from now or a year from now. I want to know what the long-term consequences are for the next 10, 15, 20 years. We must know the precedent that we are setting with each policy we embrace and what the impact on our kids and our grandkids will be. While our actions as leaders are far-reaching, so are the words that we use. The way we talk to each other has consequences. My advice to the Republican Party is to get over yourself. We all have people in our lives that we've stopped talking to. We have been offended by them, or we believe that they're too far on the other end of the political spectrum from us, that there's no sense in wasting words, even speaking to them. And we need to get over ourselves and start by listening. No one feels like anyone listens to them anymore. Listen carefully, ask questions, build a relationship. When I first married my husband, there were some members of his family that were Democrats. Today, most are registered Republicans. This did not happen because I blew them up at the Thanksgiving Day dinner table. It happened because we built a relationship, asked questions, talked, loved each other, and we found that we had much more in common than not. If we do not do this as a Republican Party, we are missing an opportunity to restore America to what its founders intended, a nation of free men and women. If Ronald Reagan were leading the Republican Party today, there would be some who would say he is way too conservative for our times. There are also would be other Republicans who would attack him for being willing to work across the aisle to fix problems and to make progress. The Republican Party is the answer to the challenges of today, but only if we remain true to our principles and to follow through on our promises to the people. And we must convey our message in a way that brings hope. Our world is desperate for optimism. And Republicans, what we believe, works. It creates opportunity. It creates success and freedom for all. If we can convey that optimism successfully, we will draw people to us. We will bring hope for the future for all Americans. Listen, to close, I want to borrow some words from one last cowboy, Teddy Roosevelt. "It is not in the still calm of life or the repose of a Pacific station that great characters are formed." We have seen great character at work before in our history. I come from the plains, the wide open places of purpose and possibility. But at the other end of our state, there lies the granite faces of some of the greatest: Washington, Jefferson, Roosevelt, and Lincoln. They remind us to have grit, tenacity, and values to preserve a more perfect union. Yes, we believe in great character, but I don't think it can be found in great leaders. America is bigger than our leaders. When the founders gathered in Philadelphia in 1787, they spelled out exactly where the government gets its power, the people. James Madison said in Federalist 49 that the people are the only legitimate fountain of power. If America's public servants return to that belief and embrace it and do it, then America will be free, prosperous, will be safe again. But if they don't, then we won't. What we loved about President Reagan is what our country is desperate for today. Leaders who believe in the goodness of America, who see hope for its future, and who are willing to gather our resources, our will, and our courage to make it real. America is burning daylight. It is literally up to us Republicans to bring that message. It is not for us to give up. It's for us to reach deep, to get up every day, and to build a country where men and women are free to think, speak, create, build, and believe. If we do this, we will call forth that strength that is the birthright of every American. We will meet the test in our time, here at home and beyond the shining sea. I know we can, and I believe that we can. So thank you, and may God continue to richly bless the United States of America. Have a wonderful day.
To find a listing of all speakers in our Time for Choosing series, including the full video of all previous speeches, please visit thetimeforchoosing.com. Thank you for listening.
For more information on the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation and Institute, including information on how to become a member, information on upcoming exhibits at the Reagan Library, and more information on the legacy of President Reagan, please visit reaganfoundation.org. And don't forget to like and follow the Reagan Foundation on all social media platforms.
Until next week, thanks for listening. God bless you.
Don't forget to subscribe to A Reagan Forum podcast in your iTunes or Google Play stores and on other podcast platforms as they become available. New episodes of A Reagan Forum come out every Thursday. Like what you hear? Check out our Words to Live By podcast featuring radio addresses and speeches Ronald Reagan delivered from the 1960s through the 1980s. New episodes drop every Tuesday. And don't forget to follow at Ronald Reagan on Facebook, at Ronald Reagan on Twitter, and Reagan Foundation on YouTube. Also, search for us on SoundCloud and Stitcher.